Good morning, church. If we would turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. So I said a few weeks ago, as we were working our way through 1 Timothy, and I hit the section on prayer, that I kind of felt God leading me to focus more on prayer. And so last week I talked about when we feel abandoned, about praying to God, and today dealing with fear. And I think that it's important to understand that the number one attack against Christians, and if you know this or not, according to Gallup, and they surveyed 100 demons, and 92% of the demons said that they use fear. Well, you don't believe those statistics I'm giving to you? It's a Gallup poll. I said that. It's right here in my notes. Okay, I made all that up. Anyways. But you know, the truth is that fear plays a major factor in how we respond, how we live out life. And the enemy knows that. And the enemy will use that tactic to instill so that Christians are neutralized, Christians are stopped, Christians, you know, whenever we get opportunities to speak, to step into situations, we all of a sudden, that fear creeps in, like, oh, should I say this? Oh, should I speak up? Should I? Because I look like a weirdo, I look like whatever it is, and those thoughts come in. Where do those thoughts come from? And I believe they come from the enemy. Fear keeping us from moving forward in the way that we should be striving to do this. So why don't we help out? Why don't we step in? Because we allow fear to lead us instead of allowing faith to lead us. So go here and next slide. So what's the purpose of prayer? And I put this up here because I think it's important for us to get an idea of what prayer is. Because why do you pray? Why do we have a time of prayer? Whether we have an opening prayer, a closing prayer, prayer during the, you know, the offering before the bread and the wine and the collection and stuff. Why do we do that? Why do we spend that time in prayer? Well, sometimes we may pray just to feel good. You may think, well, when I talk to God, I feel good. And you may feel that way. And that's a good thing, to be talking to God, like talking to a spouse, talking to a family member. It feels good to talk to somebody. Well, maybe you think, and this is kind of where this leads me to, and that is, well, you may think it leads to the purpose of prayer, leads to some type of special protection. That if we pray, if all we do is pray, nothing bad ever happens. We have this protection around us and stuff. Why else do we pray? Well, when people are sick, we want to pray for them to get well. And sometimes the truth is we pray because we want to get what we want to get. We're praying for our needs, our wishes, as if we're holding some type of genie lamp and rubbing that. Oh, Lord, I prayed to you. Where is it now? Or maybe prayer is just a way to communicate with the creator of the universe, to seek his will, his favor, his guidance, and his strength. Maybe that's the whole purpose of doing that. Now, as we look at this, prayer is a wonderful avenue to God. It is the most powerful thing that we can do on earth. It is the most powerful thing. There are things that God expects us to do, but being able to communicate with God, seek his will, not my will, his will, and allow him to open up doors that are closed, allow him to work on hearts that are so hard and stuff, because I cannot change that. And you may have had experience, you may experience some hard times through your life through those hard times, God says, you know, I've allowed you to experience those hard times. Why? So that you can be a minister to others. So you can see, so you can show other people that there is hope that comes through me. Now, I have to put this out there I'm going to give you a disclaimer before I get to the next couple of slides. I put this together on Tuesday, okay? And I wanted to, because I've talked to you about the reason and what came up. And so I'm going to have some quotes and some things up here. For the next couple of slides is to help make my point. It's not a political statement, all right? Because what I think, and that is, we live in fear. Not just people within the body of Christ, but people outside that. And because of that fear, what does it cause them to do? Oh, there are times that we live in fear. We're afraid to step up into a situation, maybe speak the truth, be a blessing to whatever it is. And we're held back by fear. But what about others? And I think we can identify with this. So as I go through the next couple of slides, it's one's going to deal with the Minnesota shooting in the school. Some quotes from the person that did the shooting, because I want you to see this. And from a political person. And this is not so we can get together and rah, rah, and bash. So that we can understand that the enemy uses fear to cause us to act and behave a certain way. And he just sits back and says, yeah, you guys keep go ahead and arguing about it or pointing fingers about it and stuff. And he loves that because we're so distracted over it. So that being said, and make sure to clean this up. So one of the messages that this person has shot and killed the two children at the school up in Minnesota, and I think wounded 15 or 17 others. So ask the question, where's your God? And where is your, with a curse word, their God now? And the other one is, do you believe in God and everything he stands for? See, people in the world would say that kind of question and say, well, you know, where is your God? In those moments of difficulty and hardship, where is your God? See, if my idea of praying to God, and that is no one in my family ever gets sick, there's never ever a financial difficulty, no hardships, then I'm wrong. My perspective of what prayer does is wrong. And then he leads us to this next one from the mayor, I think his name's Frey, F-R-E-Y. He said this. He said, don't just say this, because people were saying thoughts and prayers for going out. Don't just say this about thoughts and prayers right now. These kids were literally praying. See, what's his idea of prayer? See, if the kids were praying right now, there'd be nothing, there'd be this protection and nothing bad would happen to them. Is that why we pray? Is that what goes on in the world if we just pray? Just pray more that nothing bad would ever happen? That'd be nice. I don't want anything bad to happen to anyone. I don't want anything terrible to happen to anyone. But understand that the person that did this shooting and the person that's saying this, the mayor, I think are operating from fear. Where's your God? See, you can't leave people alone who believe and think differently. And whether anger is behind and stuff, ultimately I think it's fear. Fear of having a debate. Fear of having discourse. And again, this happened before when Charlie Kirk was just shot this past Wednesday and stuff. So what happens is that we have a society that we become fearful of dialogue. And so we name call, we badmouth, we say things that are untrue instead of having a discussion with. And so what happens in this situation in Minnesota or the representatives up in Minnesota or what happened recently this past Wednesday and stuff, people get so angry, so scared that they have to take things in their own hands and stop people from speaking. And how do they do that? Kill them. Or, as we get into the text here, put them in jail. Shut them down. Be quiet. Silence them. And so what I'm trying to deal with and get through in that is we're going to see in this section of scripture how fear causes. The prayer is about, Lord, you know, basically, you know, the enemy wants us to be quiet. We don't want to be quiet about this. Give us the boldness. We are to go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus. We're to live the good news of Jesus. We're not just to gather here to be comfortable and stuff like that. But there's moments in time God puts us in a situation, and do we have the boldness to go forward? Or do we say, well, I'll look like a Jesus freak, or I'll look like whatever it is, and our mind it just runs with it, and all of a sudden, the moment's gone. Like, well, geez, I felt God really pulling on my heart. I thought the Spirit was telling me to speak to this person, to interject. That I didn't want to look like. I don't want to sound like. And so fear handcuffs us. Well, we know that. But look what happens in the text. Before we get into this, just want you to understand the context of this. So in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John go up to the temple to worship at a time of prayer. They go up and they get to one of the gates, and there is a man who's lame, who's crippled. I forget how long he's been crippled. So the man is brought to the gate, and he's always looking for a handout for people to come by. And the scriptures tell us he doesn't even look at people going in. Basically just panhandling, like, please, please help me out. He can't do it. He can't work. There's no social network back then. He's looking for the kindness and the mercy of the people going into to the temple of God. So Peter and John cross pathways. Peter says to the man, look at us. The man is so ashamed of what he has to do that he can't even look at him. He's looking away. How embarrassing that is to be so needy that you need someone to put something in your hat, something in your basket for you to just live life, to have a meal. It's humiliating. And so here he is, crippled, laying there with his hands out. Peter says, look at us. Why? Because you're a human being created in the image of God. And he says this to him. He says, gold and silver we don't have. Well, great, thanks for telling me that. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And the man is instantly healed. He gets up, praising God. They go into the temple together. And the people recognize, isn't that guy that was just, he's jumping around. I mean, look, his legs look strong. He's not holding on to anybody. He has been healed. So a crowd gathers around. And Peter starts talking to him about how this person was healed. He's not afraid. He's not ashamed. He said, Jesus Christ, the one that you crucified, the one that you put on that cross, the one who rose from the dead, is the one who healed this man. Praise God. Wow. The religious leaders then hear what's going on. And the religious leaders are a little bit bothered by that. And so the guards come and they're listening to them proclaim about Jesus. And so what do? They get Peter and John and say, hey boys, come with us a second. And what they do, they just go ahead and they open up that door and then they close that door. And they put them in the jail to silence them, to keep them quiet from speaking about Jesus. And now the Sanhedrin, the elite, the sophisticated, those who know better than anybody else are going to now discuss their case. And so they listen to what Peter and John have to say. And Peter and John say, this man's been healed by Jesus Christ, the one that you killed. They have no problem. They're still speaking, boldly proclaiming. And so they basically say, excuse us. They go and they meet privately then. And they talk about what has to happen, all right? And so this is where we are in this. Listen to this. So this is their private discussion that we are now privy to. Listen to this. It says, saying, what shall we do with these men? These men won't stop talking about Jesus. We want them to be quiet about it. For that, listen to this. Oh my goodness, church. For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident. Did you hear that? A notable sign, and it's evident to all. What's the notable sign? That guy over there was crippled, and now he's walking around. He's running around. He is skipping around, dancing around. He is up on his 2 feet, moving around. God did something incredible. It's notable. It's evident. And look what it says this. So evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and can't deny it. We can't stop this. We see the evidence ourselves. So the question is, shouldn't they just stop right there and say, praise God? Shouldn't they go, like, praise God for what's happened, right? Oh my goodness, this man was crippled. Now he's okay. But that's not what they do. Why do they respond the way that they do? But by fear. Fear is controlling them. They say a notable sign has been performed. It's evident, and we can't deny it. It's not like, something happened that, is there really evidence? There's no evidence, and just two people debating back and forth. They see it for themselves. When Jesus dealt with the Pharisees, the religious leaders. How many times did he perform miracles? And we look at him like, how come they're not praising God? How come they, some of them, they get together afterwards and talk about how they're going to kill Jesus? Why is it? It's because of fear. Their viewpoint, their worldview has been shattered, has been challenged, and because of that, they cannot handle it. But this says this, but in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So we don't want the name of Jesus to be talked about anymore. So we're going to warn you guys. Keep this up and we'll put you all in prison, which happens in chapter 5, by the way. We'll put you all away. We'll lock every one of you up for you speaking about Jesus. They can't deny it. It's evident. They'd seen it themselves, but yet they cannot praise God. And why is it? Because they are fearful. Fearful of what, church? Fearful that they'll lose their power? Their prestige? Fearful that maybe their viewpoint of the Savior was wrong? And how many times do we act like that? That because instead of looking at the evidence, instead of examining the evidence, because that's what you'd think they would do at this point in time, let's check it out. Let's see. And let's, have you heard this? People say, let's follow the evidence where it leads, and especially in cases dealing with criminal cases, right? You want good investigation. You want people that have integrity that are going to follow the evidence where it's going to take them. It may take them to a place where they don't like it, but they'll follow it and they'll just say, this is what it is. In this situation, let's not follow the evidence. As a matter of fact, let's not look at the evidence. I can't even look over that way because that's where the guy is. I'm going to look this way. Because he reminds me constantly of what happened. Fear causes them to act in such a way that they've put them in jail already and they're threatening them with harm again. It says this, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priest and the elders had said to them. So what is it they said to them? Don't talk about Jesus. Don't speak about Jesus. If you're going to talk about Jesus, what's going to happen to you? We'll put you in jail. We'll lock you away. Maybe harm will come to you. Don't speak of it. And what do they do, church? Take a look at it. It's wonderful. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God. When it says they lifted their voices together, what does that mean? They what? Praying. They lifted their voices together to God. They didn't say, oh, woe is us. We were on such a roll. The church was growing, but now we have to stop because the governing authorities said for us to stop. Earlier in the text, Peter said to them, you can tell us basically to be quiet and stuff, but you tell us whether it's better to obey man or God. Because they want to be faithful to God and obey him. So they cannot stop. So they lift their voices to God. Church, when you're scared, whenever you're fearful, whenever those difficult moments come, what should you do? Lift your voice to God. Pray to God. Lord in heaven, help me. Guide me. A long prayer, a short prayer. Because maybe he's saying, I want you right now, Brian, to step into the situation. I want you, what's difficult, it's hard, it's yes, but I want you, I've called you to do that. He's called each one of us. And they said, Sovereign Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage? We're quoting from Psalm chapter 2. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. Talking about the rebellion of the people. And why did the rebellion? Because I believe it has to do with fear. For truly, in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. So they're praying to God. You're sovereign. You're in control. We know that your hand is in it. Does it sometimes feel like you question? It's like, Lord, do you know what's going on in my life? Do you know what's happening in my life right now? Can you kind of do this or do that? You know, we have an idea, and God knows. God is involved. God knows about our lives. And so they're crying out to him, going back to Psalm 2 and a quotation in the prayer. And it says this, "And now, Lord, look upon their..." They've been threatened to be quiet. They've been told to not speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And why is it? Because the people themselves outside of Christ are fearful. "And grant your servants to continue to your word with all, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." There are times when we don't speak up and there's nobody threatening us. But we hear the voice in our head, don't we? Don't speak up. Don't say anything. Don't interject anything. Just stay back. Just stay back. Just be quiet. And why? Because we're fearful that they may say we're Christians, that we're weird, that we believe in the resurrected Lord and Savior. So what? So what? And so here we have them actually being threatened. Threatened. They've been told not to speak anymore. And they say, "Look upon their threats, O Lord. Hear their threats." And I'm telling you today, when you hear that voice in your head, that doubting voice that says, "Don't step in. Don't whatever. Tell, get behind me, Satan." Because that's the voice of the enemy telling you to limit you, to hinder you, to stop you from fulfilling what God wants you to do. So look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak with all boldness. Notice they ask God to help them deal with the threats in order to speak the word with boldness. Fear can limit us, hinder us, block our actions, and they are aware of it themselves, and they want to deal with it. And they know that they could be arrested, they could be physically harmed. And how often do we plan and ask God to help us to deal with the fear, to cope with what is going on? And did you notice what else happens here? And this gets kind of scary. Stretch out your hand to heal, signs and wonders. Make it known, Lord, that you're in control of this situation. Make it known to these people. However God's going to act, how God's going to respond in such a way that all they can say is, well, there's some divine intervention taking place. And then it says this, "And when they had, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness." So let me ask you, church, when they were threatened not to speak anymore, did the threats work? Did the threats work? No. You say it with confidence. No, not at all. Because it says there, they continue to speak the word of God with boldness. How were they able to do this? Because they didn't sit off in a corner and focus on what was told to them and say, well, there's nothing we can do. We've been told, but, oh, we're going to be put in jail, all these bad things. They went to God and prayed to God to ask them to help them cope with the difficulty in the situation they're in. And God answers their prayer. Notice, too, it says there, and this is kind of gets scary for us, but it says when they prayed, when the place was shaken, wouldn't it be absolutely awesome to be part of that. And it says that they were all filled with what? Let me ask you a question here. Were they filled with the Holy Spirit prior to that? Yes, they were. So why this? We talk about, some people say, well, you know, I don't know why you pray for that. Once you become a Christian, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, you are. but seeking that filling, being filled with the Holy Spirit, striving. What's the purpose behind it? Because the Holy Spirit provides and allows us to have the courage, the boldness, the ability to go forward, to be more Christ-like in how we behave, more Christ-like in how we speak, to have the courage to step into situations. And so I find it amazing that after this happens, it doesn't end with them like, okay, yeah, we're good. All right, ready, one, two, three, break, Jesus, you know, and off they go. But the place is shaken where they are, shaken. And that they are filled with the Holy Spirit, even though these are disciples of Jesus and have been filled with the Holy Spirit, which is what? A sign that God gives to them. A sign of affirmation, a sign of confirmation to say, I am with you. I have strengthened you. I have blessed you. Now go and speak this word with boldness. And like I said, it just takes one flipping of the page, one chapter, and they're all arrested for this boldness that they have. But they don't stop. Brothers and sisters, we are encouraged as we gather together, sing praises to God, to glorify God, do all these things to draw us nearer to God. But there's a reality. We're all going to get in our cars and head home. We're all going to get in our cars and maybe we have to go someplace and stuff. And all of a sudden, the world's going to have its effect. Or we will have the effect on the world. And if we go out of here thinking, well, I'm a nobody, or listening and delving upon thinking about those negative comments from the enemy, well, you'll be ineffective. But if you leave here filled with the Spirit, you will leave with courage, not your boldness, but what God is going to do through you. And so you're going to come into a situation. You will come into a situation where it will be difficult. And God says, need for you to step in. And the question is, will you do that? Will you take advantage of the opportunities that He is providing for you? Amen. God is good. God is alive. God is active. And He wants to use us as instruments of peace, of instruments of reconciliation. He wants us to be light into darkness. So we come here gathered together to be shaped, to be molded, to be encouraged, to be built up. And then we go out into the world. And what do? But strive to spread that goodness to others. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy because there's too many people. You'll recognize it now. Recognize it now. How many times have you seen the world operate in fear? Just a few years ago when we had COVID, what happened? People on social media got shut down because they would say, I question this thing about it. I question this. And what happens? Shut down, shut down, shut down. And why is it? Because people operate from fear. And if they have the ability to silence you, they'll do that. And what we have a God that is good, a God that is amazing, a God that wants to use us, who wants to fill us with His Spirit so that we can go out in this world and be light into darkness. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. There is an invitation that is available to all, and that is this. If you need the prayers of the church, we'd love to pray for you. Maybe you feel that your faith is weakening. Maybe you feel that you don't have that boldness, that filling of the Spirit. We want to pray for you. We want to ask God to bless you and strengthen you. Or maybe you're here today and you've not put on Christ in baptism. You've not started that relationship with Him. Today is your chance to get your life right with God. Confessing Jesus before this group of people, being baptized into Christ, and living in the newness of life for Him. The greatest decision you could ever make. Won't you come as we stand and sing this song?